This is Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine, and I'm Dani D, here today with Dr. Linda Yang. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here today.
Now, you're the Associate Professor in the Division of Minimally Invasive Gynecologic Surgery at Northwestern Medicine, and we're here to talk about endometriosis, which I hear, you know, so many women going through, and it's affecting an estimated 5 to 10% of all women. Can you expand on that, and what is endometriosis?
I would be happy to. So as you mentioned, it affects 5 to 10% of women. So when you think about that, that can be one out of 10 women in a room around you. So quite a significant proportion of women who are surrounding us. And so the condition of endometriosis, I usually try to describe it in a way where it's a little bit easier to understand. So it's essentially where the tissue that normally is found inside the uterus, the lining of the uterus, which is called the endometrium, that tissue ends up growing outside of the uterus. So these growths can then be found on areas like the ovaries, the fallopian tubes, or other organs that are nearby, like the bladder or the intestines.
And what are those symptoms to be aware of when it comes to endometriosis, and do they change over time?
Yeah, so the tissue that grows in those areas, why it can be significant and how it can cause symptoms is because the tissue, which usually responds to hormonal changes or hormonal stimulation that comes from your own body, from the ovaries, can cause pain because the tissue can promote a lot of inflammation, which generate pain in the body. And so women who have endometriosis oftentimes will describe their periods as being very painful, but they might also have pain outside of their menstrual period. So they could also experience pain when they're not menstruating, or have pain during other kind of bodily functions, like when they urinate or when they have a bowel movement.
And doctor, now that we know some of those symptoms, how is endometriosis diagnosed?
So I think this is where we have a lot of challenges. It's very tricky because even though it's quite common, we simply don't have a good test to detect endometriosis in a way where we can just order a blood test or order an x-ray or an ultrasound. So the diagnosis oftentimes comes through discussion with your doctor in terms of the symptoms that we just kind of talked about. And then sometimes based on kind of a pelvic ultrasound or other types of imaging, we might get clues as to whether or not a woman has endometriosis. However, the ultimate or true way of detecting endometriosis is usually through surgery, where we visualize and look at the tissue that's grown outside the uterus, and then take samples and biopsy those areas.
So much helpful information today, Dr. Yang. Thank you. And this is Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine. I'm Dani D, and we're touching on endometriosis. Now, how can patients diagnosed with endometriosis manage those symptoms?
So I think the most important part of managing endometriosis is actually understanding what the condition is, and that it is a condition that unfortunately is a chronic condition that affects women. So there oftentimes requires management that's kind of ongoing. So the variety of treatments that can be offered by the doctor who's caring for a patient with endometriosis is to, first of all, kind of discuss options related to medication that can be taken by the patient or administered. Oftentimes it's using medicines like birth control pills, hormonal IUDs, other types of pain medications that can reduce inflammation. Sometimes it's necessary to talk about surgery as a way of managing symptoms. And so there would be a more in-depth conversation about the types of surgery that would be best suited for treating the symptoms.
And I know that would be like a whole other conversation, but when would you say, or can you give an example of when surgery might be needed for endometriosis?
Sure. So I think the option to undergo a surgery is usually based upon a patient who might actually have symptoms that aren't being well controlled through medications. Another example or another scenario might be patients who are trying to conceive or get pregnant. In those patients, using medications may not be ideal because oftentimes those medications are contraceptives and prevent pregnancy.
Thank you so much. I see this conversation all the time on social media, and I'm just so glad that you can answer a lot of our questions today, because it does affect so many women, Dr. Yang. So thank you.
You're welcome.
This was Voices of Better Medicine, supported by Northwestern Medicine. To learn more, go to nm.org.